sometimes, right, it's hard to take advice from someone who seems to have the perfect life. Well, Brother Lawrence did not have the perfect life, and yet he was able to discover a life of worship. So Brother Lawrence believed we should be continually in conversation with God. In fact, these are his 1600s words. He's thought it was shameful to quit these conversations and think of trifles and fooleries. He believed that these conversations should be happening all the time and that they should be simple. He said to speak frankly and plainly when we talk to God while we're doing other things. He believed we should be doing this all the time, when we're getting out of bed, when we're making and eating breakfast, when we're getting ready to go to work, when we're driving. Now, again, he didn't have a car, but he would still agree. When we're driving on the interstate, when we are raising our children, when we're at work, all of this, we should be in continual conversation with God. We should be constantly communicating with God and recognizing that God is with you and keeping God on your mind all throughout the day. And it begins with recognizing God's presence in everything. While we're sitting in traffic, while you're scrolling through social media, while you're shopping, while you're working, God is with you. Now, because Brother Lawrence adopted this practice, he began to experience pure joy. And remember, he had many reasons to not be joyful, but yet because his mind was continually on God, he experienced this pure joy and wanted to share it with others. So God equipped and empowered Brother Lawrence to understand that all acts of service, every job on the planet, is equally necessary and important in our world. We need people in every field. I think about our cities, right? We need trash collectors to city planners. All of them are vital. If you've ever lived in a place in which sanitation workers went on strike, you know how vital those workers are. Everyone is vital. Or think about a school. Again, from the principal to the cafeteria worker, all are vital. All of these positions are vital and help things to run smoothly. And so all of these positions, everyone should be focused on God. Now, of course, human nature often puts certain positions on pedestals, and we tend to sometimes celebrate some gifts over others. But God doesn't. We saw in our scripture for today in 1 Corinthians 12, every part of the body is of equal importance. All are necessary in order for us to be whole, for us to be the body of Christ. I look at our church. Our greeters are so important, that initial greeting, as is our members of finance committee who decide how to best use our resources. All are vital and equally important. All of them are necessary. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth shows that the church was struggling to value all roles and gifts. This was causing problems in the church, as they were seeing some people as more important than others, and believe it or not, it led to issues. Now, the other important thing to remember is 1 Corinthians 12 comes right before 1 Corinthians 13, which is that famous love chapter about God's amazing love and the love we're supposed to have for one another, a love that is pure and joyful and doesn't keep record of wrongs. All of these things are vital. So it was important first for the church to get it right, for the church to value all members. Everyone is equally important. That's a vital step in loving as God loves us. We together are the body of Christ. All members are equally as important. And like I shared with the kids, it makes that beautiful puzzle. And when we're missing, we notice those missing pieces. So Paul is describing the ideal church, a place where all of our gifts and talents work together to strengthen the body and the church. Not a place where only certain people do it, do certain things, but a place where everyone works together, where all of us work together and are amazed at what God can do. Paul is reiterating that through our baptism, the Holy Spirit has bestowed gifts upon each one of us. All of us have unique gifts. And then God uses them, right? I think about God's wonderful multiplication. Again, we are not the largest church in the world, but yet when we use our gifts together, God does amazing things with a few. Sometimes when I get discouraged, I think, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples. There were only 12 of them, and yet they started the whole church, and the church stands on their shoulders. It's amazing what God can do with a small group of dedicated people who are using their gifts. God is able to multiply it beyond what we can imagine. Just this week, I was talking to one of our new volunteers about what we do on Wednesdays, and he was like, "So how big is your church?" And I was like, "Well, we're not the largest." And so I'm like, "We worship, 50 to 80 on a Sunday." And he's like, "Wow, you guys are punching way above your weight class. We somehow are able to make Wednesdays happen every week," which really it's God, right? That's what I have to remind myself all the time. It's all God. But because we use our gifts together, because we all come together, we are able to do way more than we could do as individuals. God's math is amazing and makes it happen. Now, sometimes the gifts that we use in our jobs translate perfectly to ways we can work in the church. And sometimes they don't, right? Sometimes we discover an amazing gift that we didn't know. I think about our wonderful Acts class that Curtis Hickman facilitates. He is not a teacher, and yet it's going beautifully. It is a beautiful way that he is able to use his gifts to honor God and honor God's kingdom. So it's important to think about our passions when we are discerning what God is calling us to do, where our gifts are. So we're going to try something. We're going to try using something interactive. So I invite you to get out your cell phone and go to menti.com and put in this code and then answer the question of what are you passionate about? Maybe you're passionate about visiting shut-ins. Maybe you're passionate about hanging out with our really cool kids, and our cool kids are really cool. I don't know if you've noticed. Our youth and children are pretty exceptional. Maybe you love Excel spreadsheets. It's a foreign language to me, but maybe that is your passion. And if we're able, okay, I at least have it on my phone. So as soon as you put in that code, we'll be able to see what we as a church are passionate about. So I'm seeing loving others, life, friends, music. Feeding the hungry. Working with kids. Outdoor time. Oh, I love that. Friends. Soccer. Mental health. Children. Clay. Inclusion. Wildlife. My goodness, we have so many wonderful passions. And as we think about our dreams and goals, these are important for us to think about as we try to figure out what our goals are as a church. How God is calling us. So friends, I'm going to put this in the Gathering Weekly update because it's getting small, which is a good thing. It means that we have so many passions. So I invite you this week to read the Gathering Weekly update and see our awesome passions and dream about how God might be using us and these passions to further God's kingdom and do awesome multiplication everywhere. So we all have different gifts and strengths so that when we work together, the sky is the limit. God's math makes it incredible. So this week, I encourage you to think about what are you passionate about and how can those translate to what God might be calling you to do in the church? Where might God be saying, gosh, I really want you to do this? Now, to make it clear, God has not called us to burnout. So sometimes when you're doing something in the church and it's not giving you life, that is God saying, this is not where I'm calling you to be. God has called us to abundant life, fulfilling life. And we are going to find out how God is calling you to fit in this beautiful puzzle of our church. I also have a worksheet, if you would like to take it. It's on that back black table. This is about practicing the presence of God. And so it's about how to invite God into different tasks. So I tried it out this week. When I could not sleep one night, I was like, okay, let's try God. Where are you? So it did help. I did not fall asleep immediately, so let me not sell you something that doesn't work immediately. But it did help to reframe my anxiety. You know, when I had started to think about all the things I could not fix at 2 o'clock in the morning, I at least knew that God was there with me. And I did eventually fall back asleep. So again, I invite you to take this as we all figure out ways that God is calling us. Well, we know God's with us everywhere, but as we recognize that and find out how God is calling us. So friends, will you all please pray with me? God, I just give you thanks that you have given all of us these unique passions. You have called all of us by our baptisms and bestowed unique gifts upon us. So God, help us to discover those gifts, and then may we use those gifts to the fullest. As again, God, you make mighty things happen with just a few people, as you're continuing to do today. So God, help us to recognize your presence everywhere, and help us to use our gifts as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.